So ultimately, if you're going to have your suffering be remedial, then what you've got to realize is you got to quit looking at the circumstances. You got to quit looking at Satan. You got to start looking at the Savior. You got to begin saying, okay, I know that God is controlling this thing.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today. We're continuing a message, The Significance of Suffering. And Pastor, last time you'd mentioned the fact that there are five different types of suffering, but we were specifically looking at remedial suffering. For the person who wasn't with us yesterday, you just referenced in what we heard a moment ago, what is remedial suffering?
It is the suffering that God uses to change our character and to make us a better person, not a bitter person.
Okay.
And let me tell you, Steve, you know that you have grasped this concept and are living it by the questions that you ask. Here's the top three questions that we ask when we go through suffering. And I want to show you the different question that a believer who is maturing through this process will ask. Here's the first question. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And the person who understands remedial suffering, they say, why not? A person says, why me? And the person who knows that God is working on them, forming them, crafting them into the image of Jesus Christ says, why not me? And then we say, why now? And why not now? So those are different questions, and they generally demonstrate where a person is on this ladder called maturity. Now, I know you're saying that that's like, oh my goodness, no, nobody's that mature. Yes. Yeah. Yes, because you're looking and you're saying, I understand that my greater purpose is to glorify God, even to the detriment of myself. Now, you know you've arrived when you will accept any suffering if it's going to bring God glory.
Mm. Yeah, and for the person who maybe is a new believer, a young believer, someone who's not been growing in their faith, even if they've been a believer for a long time, that can be a foreign concept. For the person who says, man, can I ever get there? How do they get there?
Oh, yes. Here's how you get there. This is deep. Don't tell anybody. Come up close. Let me whisper.
All right, I'm leaning in.
Keep living.
Okay.
That's all you have to do. God is superintending that process. And you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you're going to grow to the point where you understand God is working, and you'll get to the place where you say, go ahead and work.
Yeah. I think some of the most powerful testimonies that we see are the people who are suffering, and they have chosen willingly to walk through that and to glorify God in the midst of that anyway.
Amen.
It's incredibly powerful. Well, we're looking at the significance of suffering in today's broadcast. If you can, I hope you'll open your Bible and join us in James chapter 1. Here is Pastor Ford.
So let's talk about us. Here's what James says. If we want to understand the significance of suffering, then the first thing we have to understand is the regal prerogative of the sovereign God. So in our suffering, in our remedial suffering, we need to understand that God is sovereign in it and that it's his prerogative to do with us whatever he wants to do. Now, how do we see that in the passage? Here's what he says. James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. That's right. And so that is our old friend, doulos. There are seven words translated minister or servant in the New Testament. The bottom one, doulos. So James, and who is he? The half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't know it. And whenever you read anything about him, you never know it until the writer tells you who he is. That's unlike us. We saw Oprah on the Miracle Mile, and we come back like we know her. She waved at me. Yeah. So here's what he says. He says to the 12 tribes scattered. So here's the word. It's a compound word, the word scattered. It comes from the word, you've heard it before, diaspora. Diaspora. Dia, preposition, through, spora, seed. So then the word means seed sown. So James, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes sown like seed. So you know it very well. Somebody give me the metaphor here. Give me the word picture. Where's that mic at? Give me the word picture.
This is the word picture of diaspora. A farmer spreading his seed to achieve a harvest.
Yes. So what does a farmer do? Does he throw it anywhere? No. He strategically places the seed. So God now, remember, these 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, what are they undergoing? Persecution. He's writing to them because they're undergoing persecution. They're going through suffering. And so what is God telling them? You know, your suffering has meaning. Your suffering has purpose. So then the devil may be the agent, but I'm the source. So ultimately, if you're going to have your suffering be remedial, then what you've got to realize is you got to quit looking at the circumstances. You got to quit looking at Satan. You got to start looking at the Savior. You got to begin saying, okay, I know that God is controlling this thing, no matter how much pain it's costing me. So, he says, you got to understand the regal prerogative of our God in suffering, that you are seed sown. You're strategically placed. So wherever you are right now, and whatever you're going through right now, God knows everything about it. Because if he didn't allow it to happen, it could not have happened. So then it's not by accident, it's not by incident, it's not by coincidence, it's by providence. That's right, the providence of God. God authorized it even if he is not the agent. And so this word diaspora speaks of Jews outside the promised land. And it's only used three times in the New Testament. John 7:35. John 7:35 and 1 Peter 1:1. Let me read 1 Peter 1:1. Here's what Peter says. Same thing, and remember now, he's writing to the Jews who are going through the persecution of Nero. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now we're going to come back to that in a moment, because I like what he says, the first word he says after he gives the salutation. First word he says is just powerful. So then, basically, what James is telling us and what others have told us as well, remember we studied Ephesians 3, 1, anybody remember that? The pain in purpose. Not the pain in your purpose, the pain in purpose. So what did Paul say, Ephesians 3:1? He said, Paul, a prisoner of Caesar. Paul, a prisoner of Rome. Paul, a prisoner of his circumstances. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So then what's he telling us? You know, we hook them little things up. He says, listen, he says, it's your revelation, not your situation, that determines what you go through and why you go through it. So God has placed you there and he has a purpose. Write these down, Mark 4:35. Somebody turn there and read that for us. Mark 4:35.
The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
Okay, and so now what's going to happen? Storm. What's going to happen to them? Suffering. And so he told them, well, first of all, we know that even though they're going to be in a storm and even though they're going to suffer, what's the outcome? The other side. How do we know that? Because he said so. He didn't say, let's go in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and drown. He said, we're going to the other side. And so they should have known just by that, that they weren't going to drown. But they were afraid because they didn't know that what they were going to go through was all for what? Chapter 5. What happened in chapter 5? Who was our example for rapacious suffering? Jesus had them go through all of that for one person. For one person. So he could minister to one person. That's so important. One person is to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they went through it. And guess what? What did he do after he healed him? They went back. One person. And they all went through all of that for one person. Now, they learned some other things, and we know about that. But they learned through that. So what is God doing? Well, he said, he told Israel this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 and 3, it's remedial suffering. Anybody going through any remedial suffering? Here's what it says in Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, he led them 40 years in the wilderness. So we have three infinitives. So what's an infinitive? The word to. Listen to the infinitive. To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandment or no. So here we have, here's the reason for their suffering. Humility, to humble us. Humility. Now, here's the question I have, though. Somebody help me out, because maybe I'm missing something. You just came out of 400 years of slavery. What you got to be proud about? You just been dogged out 400 years. What you got to be proud about? What do we need humbling about? I mean, that's what I think. Don't you think that? You know, isn't that a valid question? Like, what would they have that they need to be humbled about? The things that God did for them. Because sometimes we forget it was God that got you the house, not your credit score. That it was God who got you the job, not your intelligence. It was God who got you the spouse, not your good looks. And sometimes we forget. And so God needs to humble us.
Well, sometimes it's painful, but it is a good reminder from Pastor Ford today. You're listening to The Significance of Suffering, and we'll get back to this teaching in just one moment. You know, this might be a series that you want to make sure that you can listen to again and again. You can always sign up to begin podcasting this broadcast so you can have it archived, and also so that you can go back and listen to Pastor Ford's teaching when it fits your schedule. Sign up to begin podcasting Treasure Truth when you come to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. While you're there, you can also listen through your computer. Again, treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
But then notice, not just humility, but then secondly, he says he wants to test our authenticity. So the word prove is the same thing in the Hebrew. It literally means to assess something, its value. Because sometimes we're not as good a Christian as we think we are. And so God already knows that he just got to show us. Right stuff ain't come along yet. Right temptation hadn't come along yet. Sure. Yeah, that's what it means, to prove, to test. Same thing. As a matter of fact, that word is used in Genesis 22 in verse 1 when it says, and God did test Abraham. So yeah, to prove you, to see, you know, who do you trust? You know, who do you trust? What are you really made of? Do you really have faith? And so, you know, it's easy to find out how much faith you have as soon as you lose your job. It's easy to find out how much faith you have as soon as your house goes into foreclosure. You know, we run around telling everybody else scripture verses, and then when we get in trouble, it's hard for us to find one that fit us. I mean, really, think about it. You know, I mean, I'm quick to tell people, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, but then if something happened to me, then it becomes a pious platitude. I know that. I'm still human. Yeah, well, you didn't worry about me being human when you quoted it to me. Yeah. So humility, authenticity. Then he says to prove you, to humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in thy heart. Visibility. But he makes it visible to us. So he gives them a promise. We just talked about this morning. We talked about it plenty of times before. We're in Joshua 11. So in Joshua 11, the principles don't change. So it's really amazing. In Joshua chapter 10, it tells us how to attain victory. Then in chapter 11, 1 through 15, it tells us how to maintain our victory. And then in 16 and following, it tells us how to sustain our victory. And so what we're talking about is what happens to us when we get the victory and we don't maintain it or sustain it. So I got victory over my sin. Now the next couple of times I got victory, then all of a sudden I fall again. You know, I'm on the diet, I don't eat anything sweet, then I eat a whole pie. You know, don't be hunting me now. That was hypothetical. I ain't eating whole pies anymore. So here's what we were talking about. We said the old adage says, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And so we talked about the fact that when it comes to victory, that adage is true. When it comes to ministry, that adage is false. If it ain't broke, break it. That's for ministry. Why? Because if you do the same thing all the time, then it becomes rote, it becomes rut, it becomes ritual. But victory, it always stays the same. The victory from the Old Testament never changes. So, and I know you know this already, but since I already started it, so then we have to know our enemies, just like we have to know what's going on here. And so what are our enemies? Give them to me. They are the world, the flesh, and the devil. It never changes. Attain, maintain, sustain. You got to do the same thing with your enemies. What are they? You have to faith the world. Where's that found? 1 John 5:4. You ought to have that memorized. How are you going to talk about God gave you a weapon for victory? You don't even know what it is. You can't even pull your gun out. The world's coming to get you. This is the victory overcomes the world. Even our faith. So who's our example? Moses. Because what did he do? He suffered affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he said, look at this. This is the wealth, the gold, the glitter, and the glamour is in Egypt. The people of God is slavery and poverty. But I'll take that because that's walking in faith rather than walking in pleasure and prosperity. Then what about the flesh? You got to run. How do you attain victory over the flesh? Run. How do you maintain victory over the flesh? Run. How do you sustain victory over the flesh? Run. You never do anything but what? Run. 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 And so what happens? If we think we're going to win it any other way, then we are in for a rude awakening. Run. Now, what about the devil? So when the devil came to Jesus in Matthew 4, what did he say? It is written. He didn't say, hold up, let me get my Bible. Now, what was that verse? Or what did the preacher preach about? No, he just quoted the word of God. Bam, 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 bam. Why? Because our flesh, the world, and the devil cannot stand the word of God. That's why they don't want us coming to Bible study or anything else. So, then notice he says the fourth thing he says, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. And that is reliability. So God tested him in four areas: humility, authenticity, visibility, reliability. And verse 3 says it was based on sovereignty, which is the point we're making. God says, I did it because I can do it, and I will test you. And so we said we've got to be like Job, because Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the regal prerogative of God. God is the source, even if the devil is the agent. So everything that comes into our lives are either God authorized or God allowed. God authorized or God allowed. So then what's the question we ought to ask? Not why, but what? What are you doing in my life? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to burn in to my character? What are you trying to burn out that's compromised? And what are you trying to burn? Did I say burn? I said burn in, burn out, and burn off. Yeah, in carnality. So what are you trying to burn into my character? What are you trying to burn out that's compromised? What are you trying to burn off that's carnality? So then the regal prerogative of God in our suffering. Then notice, secondly, the right perspective. The right perspective about our suffering. Notice what it says. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. So it's a mathematical term, and it literally really means to add it all up. So it's a Romans 8:28 word. Count it all joy. See, we've got to submit to the regal prerogative of God, but we have to have the right perspective. That is, we have to count it all joy. So now, somebody help me out. I don't have to go through this because somebody ought to be able to tell me what's joy. If we count it all joy, then joy must first of all be what? Well, tell me what you know about joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which means it's produced in the life of the believer by the Holy Spirit. When he is what? Present in. Because he's indwelt, he's resident. So how many believers have the Holy Spirit? All believers. How many Christians does the Holy Spirit have? That's the question. Not do you have the Holy Spirit residency, but does he have you presidency?
Well, if you're still asking that first question, do I have the Holy Spirit? You're not sure? Well, there's a way to know for sure. Call and talk with someone about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit and begin that relationship with Jesus. The number is 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Someone standing by to take your call, to pray with you, and answer questions you may have. We're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor James Ford Jr. You can find us online at treasuretruthradio.org. And maybe you're listening and you're confident that the Holy Spirit is in you, but you want to follow him with your whole life. You're just not sure what the next step is. In the book Radical, David Platt offers a challenging look at what it means to follow Jesus with everything you have. You know, Christians from every walk of life are reading this book and finding their faith invigorated as God turns their lives upside down. You can request a copy of this book when you give a financial gift and support Treasure Truth. Again, it's called Radical, and it's written by David Platt. Ask for it by name when you call 888-644-7660 or come to treasuretruthradio.org. Get the guidance you're looking for as you read David Platt's biblical vision of discipleship. Whether you read it on your own or you invite your small group or Sunday school class to join you, prepare to be changed as you read Radical. Request your copy today when you call 888-644-7660. Or again, come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. Well, I'm Steve Hiller. Our producer is Amy Rios. Join us again Thursday as we wrap up this message, The Significance of Suffering. That's here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.